Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh. Everybody say, oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh. Come on, what you gonna do?
Stop on the devil's head.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Stop on the devil's head.
Yeah, in the building, say, oh, 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 oh.
Under my feet,
all of your
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Unified in Christ. Oh, gracious Father, we come this afternoon lifting up the name of Jesus. We come to give you the praise and give you the glory, because if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be today? So, God, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for those that may come on or those that's already on, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise today, and we give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, today our broadcast is Women Unified in Christ. Why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins? You know, there's a positive, healthy side being proud of your children or spouse or taking pride in your work. But the Bible looks mainly at the destruction side of pride, because it has such great power to damage our relationship with others and with God. You know, pride is destructive when it involves wanting too much recognition, taking too much, wanting your own way, thinking your way is best. In summary, thinking too highly of yourself. It causes us to face the world from a selfish point of view. So today our tag words is selfish, pride, recognition, and envy. Women Unified in Christ. And our topic today is, why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins? You know, when you think about it, why is pride considered? We went over to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter and the 11th verse through the 19th. And I'll break it down and say, why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins? Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Here the Bible seemed to indicate that pride was the sin that resulted in Lucifer, meaning Satan, being cast from heaven. It was the pride. He got beside himself. He thought he was more than what he was because he was the chief angel. But when he seen that wasn't going to work with God, what did God do? God cast him out. Over in Daniel, we're talking about, why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins? You know, over in Daniel, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. I won't read all of them. You can follow along if you like. But when his heart and mind was hardened with pride. He was brought down from his royal throne. That means Satan. You know, and a lot of people today, they have so much pride, they want to be on a pedestal. Just do whatever God, whatever assignment God have given you to do, just do it. You don't worry about if you're going to get recognition or if you're going to get credit. God is in charge. He wants you to do it. Don't worry about it. Long as God knows you're doing it. You know, pride leads to a hardness of heart, which in turn leads to an arrogant disregard of God and sin. These are some of the things I'm giving you today. Why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins? And I want to thank everyone that have tuned into the broadcast today on Women Unified in Christ. You know, over in 2 Timothy 3, 2, and 5, the word of God is saying they will be boastful and proud. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will betray their friends. How many people you know? You can count them on your hand. How many have been unloving, unforgiving? They have betrayed you. But you know, pride can destroy relationship faster than almost anything else because it is always taken away from others. You've seen it even in the body of Christ. Everyone want to be on a pedestal. Everyone and take that. But God, hold on just a minute. Can destroy relationship faster than anything. A lot of you all have been in situations and you trying to figure out, why is this person acting the way they're doing? You know, like they ignoring you, they don't know you. They done got so high, they job, they high and mighty. Well, I got another affirmation, but I'm still Sadie. I'm still overseer, Sadie, pastor, elder, whatever you see fit, I'm still the same person. I didn't change because God took me to another elevation. I'm just trying to learn more in the word. So I have to watch myself daily. I don't want pride to even enter into me. You know, pride strengthens your position at the expense of others. It is selfish. You know, some people want to do things and at the expense of others, trying to make others look belittled, trying to keep others down. But that's one of the deadly sins, is pride. Over in 2 Chronicles 26, 16 through 20, the word of God said, you can read that at your leisure. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. Talking about Satan. You know, an infamous estimate of our past success lead to prideful behavior and ultimately judgment. We don't want to have be so proud that we no earthly good. No. If somebody give you something, share it with somebody else. Don't be so proud that you think you know you can't have or you it's only you have that or you know vice versa. You know we have to watch that pride. I'm going to tell you a little bit about pride, too. Pride is like a cancer of the soul, beginning with a few cells of self-congratulation, boasting, or vanity. It soon grows unchecked into arrogance and conceit. Soon, there is no room left for the healthy cells that worship God and pursue healthy purpose. You know, as with cancer, the key to eliminate pride is to subject it to the surgeon's scalpel before it has a chance to grow out of control. You know, through confession and repentance. Invite God to cleanse your heart of pride. Every day when you pray, all during the day, say, God, move that pride from me. I don't want pride, arrogant, selfish to enter into the sphere of my consciousness, because people will start looking at me and say, well, she changed. She's not like she used to be. That means you done let pride come in. You done let your position, your little pay raise, because you got a new house or a new car. You let all that take procedure over what God had for you. And you don't want that to happen. I'm just trying to tell you, you got to keep things at a minimum. Just act your normal self. Because you won the lottery, you don't have to mean you looking down on somebody else because you got more money than them today. Don't you know you could lose that money as fast as you got it? I'm just using that as an example. You know, I turned over to Obadiah 1:3. And it said, a very wealthy, successful businessman said in an interview, I don't need God. While his business success was certainly served him well in material pursuit, it secured and would be void at the last breath. False security lead us into pride. My. For the Edomites, it was the security of fortress and high cliff. For the businessman, it is the number. Well, someone is calling me. Hold on. Praise the Lord. We on the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Hallelujah. People calling, trying to get in. Praise the Lord. You know, for the business, it is the number in the bank book. How about you? Do you perceive that you're safe, smarter, and richer than you really are? You know, some people take some things really to heart, for granted, but God is sitting high, and he's looking low. He know everything that we are doing, and he don't want us to be so prideful that we know earthly good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something else about pride. Let me turn my Bible over to it right now, because pride is something. Let me turn right on over to my scripture. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, pride over in Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 30 and 31. Here we are talking about, in those verses, they're talking about the Ethiopian man was faced with a question. And we all face regular. Should I open myself up to the help being offered? I know a lot of you say that. Pride say, no, I can't do it myself. Or I don't want to admit I don't know everything. You know you don't know it. Someone want to help you. Let them help you. Don't let pride stand in the way. I would love for someone just to come help me. My pride is not, and with my leg and my hand now, but everybody won't pay. Everybody don't want to do something they say from their heart from the Lord. Everybody wants you to pay them. So please help me. I don't know what to do. Here the Ethiopian has succumbed to pride. He would have missed possibly his only opportunity to become a Christian. Pride could have literally kept him out of the kingdom of heaven. Has pride kept you from receiving help lately? Has pride kept you from accepting Jesus into your life? Think about it. Have you let pride stand in your way? Think about it. Because God send us people to help us. All the time, it may not be what you want, but God know what you need. And let me turn to another scripture right quick. Let's hold on. And I'm going to turn right on over to my scripture. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Over in Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 17 through 19, here we read, there is little doubt that Paul's life before meeting Christ was dominated by pride. Y'all have read the story on Paul before he became a Christian. Over in Philippians 3, 4, and 6, as he grew in Christ, he came to rejoice in his suffering because he believed God used them pride out of his life. You know, but here, Paul allowed himself to express a different kind of pride, not that which lead to sinful arrogance, but that which glorify God through excellence and integrity. Paul took pride no longer in himself, but in what the Lord Jesus was able to do in and through him. You know, we have to focus on God's life in you as a good determinant of arrogance. We got to let God work on us, you all. Remember the words I gave out earlier? Selfish, pride, recognition, envy. You know, I'll say, church folk, that if you don't recognize them for cleaning up the bathroom, I'm going to use that example, or they won't speak to you for months. Well, you know, I did. I cleaned the bathroom. I cleaned the pastor's study. I put new flowers. But you're doing that unto God. You letting pride stand in the way. You know, there is a positive, a healthy side to pride. Being proud of your children is one thing, or your spouse, or taking pride in your work. But the Bible looks mainly at the destructive side of pride because it has such great power to damage our relationship with others. And pride is destructive when it involves wanting too much recognition, taking too much credit, wanting your own way. You know, you've met people, they want their own way. They want all the credit for something that they did. Thinking your way is best. In summary, thinking too highly of yourself. It causes us to face the world from a selfish point of view. My. Today, we're talking about the seven deadly sins of pride. You know, as I was going through that in Luke, the 18th chapter, starting in the 10th and 11th verse, let me turn over to Luke and read what thus said the word of God. I'm in a different Bible today. So I had to get my pages all together. I was trying to make sure I put everything by my scripture so it wouldn't take long. The 18th chapter of Luke, and let me turn to it. And starting from the 10th through the 11th verse, and the word of God says, in this Bible, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a dishonest tax collector. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheated, I do not sin, I do not commit adultery, excuse me, Now, what that is? Selfish, pride, recognition. Now, he forgot. He's supposed to be praying and talking to God. But you see the stuff he was saying by he didn't do this. He felt like he was better than a dishonest tax collector. But here, the proud Pharisee stood by himself. The proud render us blind to our own sin. That's another sin. You know, it renders us blind. You know, over in Obadiah 1 and 3, it say, you are proud because you live in a rock forest and make your home high in the mountain. Well, here, you know, here pride find comfort in false security. My. And let me go over here to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and let's see what it's saying. I'm coming from the scriptures, you all. That way, you all can follow me if you have your Bibles. And if not, I'm putting the scriptures out there for you. And chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollo and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to the scriptures, you won't brag about one of your leaders at the expense of another. What makes you better than anyone else? What do you have that God haven't given you? And if all you have is from God, why boasting as though you have accomplished something on your own? You know, pride can infect our spiritual lives and divide the church. You all have been in service and in fellowship where pride have divided the church. From the pulpit to the front door, from the side door to the back door. You have seen how pride have come in and disrupt a whole church. I'm going to turn over to Acts, and let's see what it's saying. Because it's going to be Acts, the 8th chapter. And the 30th to the 31st verse. And let's read what it says. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he asked, do you understand what you are reading? Verse 31 said, the man replied, how can I, when there is no one to instruct me? And he begged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. You know, the passage of scriptures he had been reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shear. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. And as we read that, you say, how many times we are in the scriptures and we don't understand what we're reading all the time? And sometimes we may have somebody we ask to help us, but they don't help us. Pride may keep us from asking others for help. If one don't do it, go to the next one. Because God have a message. And if one don't give it to her, just keep searching. Keep asking. God have somebody that's going to help you. I went over to Acts the 12th chapter and the 22nd and the 23rd verse. Let me see what that one says. As I turn to it, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robe, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It is the voice of a God, not of a man." And verse 23 says, "Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died." That means we better give God all the praise, not thinking we got it all. Don't let selfish come in. Don't let pride come in. Don't want recognition and envy. You know, God hates pride, and we judge it severely. We're talking today about why is pride considered one of the seven deadly sins. And if anyone that's on my switchboard would like to say something, I'll stop for a few minutes and let you come on and say something about pride. If anyone that's listening in today would like to say something on pride. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I went over to Romans, the 15th chapter. Let me turn over there. And let's read what thus said the Lord. Excuse me. Okay, sinus. Okay, the 15th chapter of Romans. Excuse me. And the 17th verse says, I'm going up. Let me drink a little water so that keep that cough down. And the 17th verse says, "So it is right for me to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God." And verse 18 says, "I not boast of anything. I dare not boast of anything else. I have brought the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I live before thee." You know, in this verse, excuse me, "So it is right, enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me." Paul was proud not of what he had, but what God had done. Hold on. Okay, there was someone else called trying to get in. Long distance, praise the Lord. You know, the enemy don't want us to talk about this pride today. But we're going to talk about this pride in between coffee, in between drinking a little swallow of water, because people need to know why is pride considered one of the deadly sins. Because a lot of people walk around with pride, with their chest stuck out. They done this. They done that. And they couldn't did anything without the Lord. God was right there through it all. And, you know, when you think about Paul was proud not of what he had accomplished, but of what God had done through him. And that's the way I feel. It's nothing I did. I could do nothing without God. None of you all that's on this line today could do anything without God, you know, to get up this morning. We didn't get up on our own. It was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that woke us up. When you went to work today, you didn't go on your own steam. God took you there, brought you back home safely. When you went to sleep, he the one woke you up. When you walked through your house, he give you the strength. So why should we boast about I fed this one or I did that for this one? God allowed each one of us to do what we're doing. We don't have to take to be so proud or be envy of one another or want every time we do something, we want recognition. People got to stop that. Excuse me. Do it from your heart. Don't do it gradually. Do it from your heart, everyone that may be listening in the archive, because he want to see a healthy side to pride. He don't want us to be boastful, always envy someone else of what they have. I'm glad when somebody tell me they've gotten a new house, car, land, a job. I am just as happy for them because I know whatever I'm asking God for or whatever he see fit to give me, I would want them to be happy for me. So I shouldn't have to be envy because they got to take a trip and I didn't. It wasn't time for me to take a trip. It wasn't time to do different things. God have a set time for everything and everybody. And we have to know without a shadow of a doubt what God have for us. You know, over in 2 Corinthians, let me turn over to that. It's another scripture I found over there. It wasn't lost, you all I'm saying I found, but as I was reading, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And let's see what the Lord is saying in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 11 to 13. And let me read what it thus said the Lord. It is because we are God's ambassadors. It is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to pursue others. God know we are sincere. And I hope you know this too. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart before God. You know, if it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, not to us. You know, and if we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe we have all died for everyone. We also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way as though he was merely a human being. How different I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons that are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciliating people to him. For God was in Christ reconciliating the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you as though Christ himself were here, pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Today we are talking about why pride is considered one of the seven deadly sins. You know, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back? No. It is to bring glory to God. Like Paul, if we take pride in anything, we are to take pride in the integrity and honesty of our ministry and life. You know, God delivered the humble, but humility the proud. You'll find that in Psalms 18 and 27, also Matthew 23 and 12. So today our broadcast was on why pride considered one of the seven deadly sins. And a lot of you all have seen people in person, on the prayer line, in your ministry, in the body of Christ, in the grocery store, on the telephone when people call you. You can pick up all that pride, that envy, that recognition. It's me, 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 I. But when do you hear him say, Jesus did it, if it wasn't for the Lord, or self, about self? I know y'all can pick out a lot of people as I'm speaking today that y'all have run across that have one of the seven deadly sins, which is pride. So today, the broadcast was there. Hope everyone that's listening in or on the archive got something out of this topic today. When you read about the proud Pharisees and others in the Word of God, you can see what God say. He don't care nothing about that proudness, that envy, that jealousy, a bone of Christ. We all have to go before God one day. So do we want to? We know when we get to God up there, we can't stand up there by we all that pride and that boast and I done this and I need recognition for that. Nah. I see, that's why I don't go a lot of services. Everybody want kudos on the how well they sung. They want kudos on what they preach. They want kudos on how many people they brought in. They want kudos on the food and everything else. But just do it for the admonition of the Lord. Because without the Lord, you could do nothing. So that was the broadcast today. I know I'm a little short today because I started that coughing, and I don't like to cough and to be talking. But if anyone would like to say anything on this broadcast concerning pride, feel free. I would love to hear from you. We do have a few minutes that you can come on and talk about it. I'll leave the floor open to anyone that want to speak. Just hit one on your keypad. I would love to hear from you. But I hope you remember some of the scriptures that I read to you and give, and some of the things that you find out will cause people to be so prideful. That's damaging to their relationship, to their ministry, to their families. Put pride aside. Person needs something, no matter if they got it or not. If God told you to take it to them, take it to them. If God told you to do something nice for him, do it. Don't let pride stand in the way. It's not all about money, but it's all about God. It's all about what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. So that is the broadcast for today, Women Unified in Christ. And we want to bring more women to the line. We've tried to find out what's a good time for everyone to come in. And we know some people are out shopping and all that. But even for the holidays, you know, God will soon crack the sky. Will we be ready? Are we teaching? Are we preaching? Are we sharing the gospel with someone else? Are we going about lackadaisy, doing what we want to do and not trying to lift our sisters and brothers up? So today, remember some of the things that I brought to you. Selfish, pride, recognition, envy, destruction, damage. Remember some of those things that you see on an everyday basis. Too highly of yourself. So we want to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. And as we get ready to leave the line, we don't leave God's presence. I'm leaving about 15 minutes earlier to keep me from coughing. Gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We thank you for all those that came on the line to hear the Father. We thank you for what you're doing in their life. God, we give you praise because it's not about me. It's all about you. And I thank you for the anniversary today, dear Heavenly Father, the anniversary of 14 years, going on 15 years that I've been doing Blog Talk, and a year that we've been doing Women Unified in Christ. So, God, I thank you. I'm not boasting. I'm not envy. I'm asking to send more people on, dear Heavenly Father. Give us the time and the right time and the date that you would have us to come on, dear Heavenly Father. I ask you to bless all those that's listening in on the archive and all those that came in on the broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father. Strengthen each one of them. If they are traveling, give them traveling grace to their home. If their homes, dear Heavenly Father, bless them right where they are sitting on their phone, dear Heavenly Father, by their computers, dear Heavenly Father. We come to give you praise, dear Heavenly Father. Don't let self-pride, don't let selfish come in the way. Don't let proud and recognition, dear Heavenly Father. Don't let envy or jealousy come in to our lives, dear Heavenly Father. Let us stay humble and with humility with each and every person that we meet. And until next month, on the fourth Saturday, we want everyone to be blessed, have a wonderful and a prosperous day in the Lord, which is the Sabbath. And until next month, be blessed. Love each one of you all. Bye-bye.